Brian joins us on Thursday morning with Real News. Brian, good morning. Thanks for joining us again this morning.
Nice to be here, Marshall. Good morning to you.
You know, it's you take a look at the commentary that we just heard. And,
yeah, we talked about the Boogaloos before, right?
Yeah, it's and people tend to put that, not everybody, but there's a lot of people that tend to box that away and put it away because they don't understand it, or they don't care about it, or they don't want it to affect what they think their opinion of Donald Trump is. And it's not that Donald Trump actively supports groups like this, but what he does is he gives groups like that the freedom to actually increase their activities. It's almost like you've got the wink and a nod, go ahead.
Well, he gives them cover in a way.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, what he doesn't do is discourage it. He doesn't speak out against it. And that's, I think, the most troubling part. He could say nothing, or he could say something against them. But instead, he sort of encourages, looks past it. And that's troubling in itself, that any president of the United States would do anything that would encourage violence, a terrible thing, just like he seemed to, yesterday to encourage people in North Carolina to vote twice.
It's it gets more amazing each day. The news just broke this morning. The week or two before Election Day, Facebook is going to ban all political ads. Now, I don't know what good that'll do a week or two before an election. But instead of banning political ads, what they should do is tighten up their security. And
exactly right, because what's going on there are that whole Boogaloo group has morphed from page to page in Facebook. They're very active there. I've talked with people who feel that Facebook, more than any other organization, has encouraged the growth of that Boogaloo movement of these crazed people who see the Democrats as going after them, and they're going after the Democrats.
And for some reason, there's two views of violence. There's the violence that protesters have that people blame on Black Lives Matter and other people, when it's not. It's just hooligans out there protesting on the backs of demonstrations. And yet they look the other way when it comes to the violence that is put forward by these mainly white supremacist groups.
Well, I mean, the violence on either side for any cause, I think, is... Mr. Biden said yesterday, it is not a protest. That's different than a protest. It undercuts the purpose of a protest.
And Joe Biden is going to be in Kenosha today. And I find it interesting that he did wait, and I think he did the right thing, even though politically it probably wasn't the right thing. He could have gone into Kenosha before the president and done what he – but he waited for the president to go in, and now he's going to go in and handle what he's going to do in Kenosha, totally different than what the president did yesterday.
You do have to wonder, though, both sides, do either of them need to go to Kenosha at this time? The local officials there discourage the president. Apparently they're not discouraging Vice President Biden, and I wonder about that. I really do. Should we make Kenosha the center of this campaign?
Well, if it's not Kenosha, then what's the next city? The next city? I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on.
But as you say, it's clearly a theme there, with the president now talking about should we defund the anarchist cities, including New York City, San Francisco, and elsewhere.
And I just think the Democrats don't take that bait. Keep talking about the COVID-19. Keep talking about our ranking in the world. Keep talking about all the other things that are going on, the economy, which is in ruin because of COVID-19, the exodus of that people will sooner or later have to face from their homes when they're evicted, and all these things break down. I mean, to me, that's what the Democrats should be pushing. And if they want to let Donald Trump push his law and order, I think let him push it and let the cards fall where they may.
And yet, if you look at the most trending stories on Facebook, and if you are a devotee of Fox News, you would think the most important thing in the world is that Nancy Pelosi got her hair washed out at a salon in San Francisco, where the owner took a picture with a surveillance camera and gave it to Fox of her without a mask. And apparently after Mrs. Pelosi had been told that they could come in one at a time as a customer, Schumer. That was not the case, and so she feels she was set up. But that is trending. That's the big story. Nancy Pelosi defies the mask rules.
And you know, she was set up. And you know what? Her advisors and her should have known better. I mean, in today's world, everybody has a camera. Everybody. and they can't wait to get their 15 minutes of fame. It's the social media world that we live in right now.
And you wonder, because you talk about, you know, what are the real issues? Kids going back to school, colleges in crisis over students who are there that are having huge outbreaks of the COVID-19, and in fact, colleges deciding whether or not to send the kids home, which Dr. Fauci says is the worst possible thing you could do, is send them home and let them spread it further. So, you know, the COVID-19 crisis continues, and yet we see now the president last week, the same day we talked last week, that night talked about a vaccine before Election Day. And what you have to wonder is, you know, to what extent are politics at play here, and to what extent will that kind of tar the whole process so that people who are already perhaps suspicious of vaccines will figure they're not going to take this vaccine. It undercuts the science of it. It undercuts the possible efficacy of it.
He just doesn't realize, and I think that's the whole thing. He can bluster and do what he wants as Donald Trump, head of a Trump Organization. He can make all his headlines and do. But when you're president of the United States and you do something, every single word you say, has ramifications elsewhere, whether it's the economy, whether it's social justice, you name it. Your words carry so much weight, and he just really does not understand that.
Or he does, you know, and he is able to throw off, reporters off the scent of a big story by going after, now they're going to worry about defunding New York City. That's become an issue. He has found a way to skillfully manipulate sort of the daily agenda, and that's the battle between Team Trump and Team Biden, who wins the news cycle that day. So far, I think Vice President Biden has done pretty well, but in the last week or so, we've seen Team Trump turn it on.
All right, now let's go to Russia. Germany now has come out with as much proof as you can possibly have that once again Russia commits another poisoning, they want the EU now to get into some action against Russia.
Well, absolutely. It won't happen because there are too many economic factions at work there. But without a doubt, Putin has a way of silencing his critics and his enemies wherever they are, in Russia or in London, or there was even an attempt in the U.S. to go after somebody in Florida. He has a team of assassins. It is right out of a spy novel, and it's real world.
It's real world, and it's so real world. This is the amazing thing about it, is that if you remember back in England a couple of years, the poison was thrown away in a garbage can, and a completely innocent couple was poisoned. I mean, they don't only do it on their own territory; they do it on other countries' territories. When you look at this, Brian, when you sit there as a reporter that's been covering things for so many years, and you look at what happens, and just think. People watching movies 5 and 6 years ago saying, oh, things like this, they're made up. It's made for TV movies, made for the stuff that we are seeing in real life far exceeds what we've seen in the movies.
Without a doubt, and he gets away with it because, as the New York Times was saying, we let him get away with it. The interference in our elections 4 years ago, they're still trying it again now, poisoning, killing his advocates, perhaps putting a bounty on U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. I mean, this guy gets away with a lot. We have not called time out on him, and I think it needs to be done, and I suspect if there's a change in administration, it will be done.
All right. Now, I spoke with Ed Kirby, just one final note before we go, yesterday about that. Ed came out with a book, and unfortunately, he came out with a book when the pandemic hit. So he's just having coming up very soon, a Zoom reading on that and talk on that. But then, as part of the Voices of Sharon series, you're going to be interviewing Ed as well.
That's right. September 19th, we're going to do it. We're making a catalog of all the great voices of Sharon, their references, their recollections of what happened. What was Sharon like 60, 70 years ago, and what's it like today by comparison? And he's one of those voices. Who knows Sharon better than Ed Kirby?
You know, I've known Ed since I was a kid, and he was a baseball coach. He was a teacher. He was a principal. He was a superintendent. And also, all you have to do is mention Steve Blass in baseball.
He found him, and he promoted him. And, you know, Ed is a, and as you know, Ed, he's a great guy and, you know, a real treasure in this town. And I'm just so honored to be asked to let him take us through his recollections of growing up, living in Sharon, what it was like. I've heard a few of the stories. I'm on the board of the Sharon Historical Society with him. And every meeting he gives us a historical moment, and they're always fascinating. So it's important to get it down on tape or on, I guess it's not tape anymore, it's whatever it is, digital, in the computer somewhere. We'll have it recorded forever, and we're going to get a lot of different voices in Sharon for the Historical Society project that I'm doing with my partner Rhonda Schwartz, who lives here in Sharon and is the secretary of the board there. And we're going to record them on audio and video and you know, make a lot of it.
All right, and he was a Renaissance man before there was such a thing as Renaissance.
Yeah, right. Before Da Vinci, not quite.
But. All right, Brian, we'll speak with you next week.
Okay, great, Marshall.
Take care. Brian Ross with Real News here on Robinhood Radio. You can find it on the web, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand, click on Brian Ross and Real News.